All right, thank you for listening to this podcast. I want to do something a little bit different. I know that in the past I had done a few of these types of podcasts. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll take the radio message that's recorded for the radio program that I have and put it on a podcast, because I do have a number of people that prefer to listen to the sermons through the podcast. But today I wanted to just cover a little bit about some of the stuff that I've been covering in the systematic theology course that I've been teaching at the church during Sunday school. And this has been a long course up to this point. We've covered bibliology, theology proper, and Christology, and we are going to be beginning pneumatology this coming Sunday. So I wanted to take a few minutes to talk about Christology today. Certainly not going to cover everything that I have in my notes. I'll just cover a few things and then take it from there. But like any of the other disciplines that we study as Christians, we certainly ought to take our study of Christ as seriously as we can. There's a lot of misconception, there's a lot of error, there's a lot of falsehood concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in many aspects of his life, and certainly the atonement and his second coming. We really need to anchor ourselves to the doctrinal teachings as it concerns Christ, just so that we are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and certainly so those of you that are preachers, so your folks aren't tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine either. So I believe that, number one, Christ needs to be the core of our teaching and preaching. In other words, Christ should be preeminent in all things based on what Colossians says. So Christ should be preeminent in our preaching and teaching, and even in our own lives. We need to model our lives after the Lord Jesus Christ, to live according to his will, have the mind of Christ, to be followers of Christ, take up our cross daily with regards to Christ, and to preach Christ and him crucified. Paul really set the bar high in that regard. Paul was all about Christ, preaching Christ to him crucified. He said, "Woe unto me if I preach not Christ." And he really set the bar on that. But we need to really study out the Lord Jesus Christ in our churches, in our homes, in our own personal lives, and really get this stuff down, because too many people are going off these strange and bizarre paths with systems and rituals and idols and rites and everything else. It's about this man and about this person and this religion. It's about what I've done. Got to bring it back to, hey, it's about Christ. The Bible is about Christ. Both the foreshadows, the types, the prophecy found in the Old Testament, the visible revelation of Jesus Christ, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his life and his death, and all that he taught to his disciples and communicated to them to teach to us, and so on. And we also learn, not only is Christ the core of the Bible and core of biblical Christianity, but he is a central figure in human history. In fact, he separates all human history, the BC and AD before Christ, and then AD, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And so we look at Christ, we look at religions in general. They have a lot of different rites and rituals and processes and how one gains favor with their particular deity. At the end of the day, the reality of it is, faith in Christ is necessary for salvation. Doesn't matter what religion a person belongs to, if they die Christless, then they will be separated from God in hell for all eternity. There is no other way. There is no other way for them to be saved. Jesus Christ is the only one that made the atonement. Nobody else made the atonement for you, for man, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and the other thing to consider is, a lot of people can know religious things. They can know facts about religion. They can have an idea of what religion is, and still have no faith in Christ. You can have people sitting in church pews Sunday after Sunday and know details about Jesus and quote facts concerning Christ and even quote scripture and yet not know Christ by faith. And so the more that we teach on Christ and exalt Christ and really make him preeminent in all facets of the ministry in our personal lives, the more those that are on the threshold, the lost, for example, the more that they are confronted with the reality of their sin and condemnation. And so we want to be careful of that, and that's why I think teaching a comprehensive study on Christology is very important. So we start with this question, who is Jesus Christ that we might believe in him? Now, Strong said this, and I quote, "The redemption of mankind from sin was to be effected through a mediator who should unite himself both the human nature and the divine so that he, that is to say, Jesus Christ, might reconcile God to man and man to God," end quote. Jesus Christ came to reconcile the lost to the Father through his selfless sacrifice. And this is the core message of the Christian faith. But since the beginning, there has always been, and of course, the Bible warns about this, false teachers, false prophets. Peter warns us in 2 Peter chapter 2, 1-3, false prophets and teachers. 1 Timothy chapter 4 deals with those in latter times departing from the faith. Romans 16, 17 and 18 talks about false teachers who cause divisions and should be marked. And then throughout the epistles, we see these warnings against false teachers. And so this is nothing new to 2021. Throughout history, there's always been false teaching against Christ going all the way back to the New Testament church. And so we can deal with, for example, we could deal with those that question his deity. The anti-Trinitarians always seem to come around and just sort of appear out of nowhere. We get that a lot when we're sharing the gospel in front of City Hall. We get the Church of Christ crowd come hovering in on the scene, and certainly the cults are hard at work trying to undermine the doctrine of the deity as well, and many other aspects of Christ's life and miracles, including the resurrection. There's a denial there of a physical bodily resurrection by the Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, and even modernists today deny the physical bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are a number of views that have been propagated throughout the years, and some of these you see today might be in different forms and different degrees, but you still see it today. The Ebionites, the name means poor. These were one of several sects during that time, around 70 AD in Palestine, and this would have included the Nazarenes and the Elkosites. They were a Jewish Christian sect that followed the Old Testament law, but there were several things that they believe that go contrary to the Word of God as far as teaching on Christ is concerned. They denied that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. They deny the incarnation. Jesus was created. They believe that Jesus was a created being and that God adopted him at his baptism. We see some of that when we study out the religion of the Russellites or the Jehovah's Witnesses. They teach that Jesus Christ was a created being or that he is a lesser God. They rejected the Pauline epistles and only accepted the Gospel of Matthew. And again, we see some of that even today. There are many today that reject outright the Pauline epistles. Only the words of Christ matter. Only the Gospels matter. Well, all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, so we cannot overlook or ignore or put to the side Pauline authority, if you will. We can see many undercurrents of these teachings today in the various religious bodies and cults. The Gnostics appeared around the same time as the Ebionites, and Paul deals with Gnosticism in Colossians and in Timothy. They believe that salvation came only through some secret knowledge, hence the name Gnostic, which is from the Greek gnosis, which means knowledge or to know. So they held to a dualistic belief, meaning the world was in two parts. There's a material world, which is inherently evil, and then there is a spiritual, which is good. The Gnostics also, and this is important, deny that Christ was God manifest in the flesh. They deny that Christ was crucified. And this is similar to Islam. They deny that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, or a prophet of God, was martyred or killed on the cross. And here's what it says in the Quran, Surah 4, 157 to 158. And I quote, that they said in boast, "We killed Christ Jesus, the Son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. But they killed him not, nor crucified him, but so it was made to appear to them, and those who differ therein are full of doubts, with no certain knowledge, but only conjecture to follow. For of a surety they killed him not, nay, Allah raised him up unto himself, and Allah is exalted in power, wise." End quote. Well, you can see the problem there. If Jesus Christ wasn't crucified on the cross, then he wasn't buried and he didn't rise from the dead or wasn't resurrected. And all you have to do is read 1 Corinthians 15 and Paul's masterful argument with regards to the resurrection. Our faith is in vain, we are in our sin, and we are men most miserable. And so we see that and many others that are prevalent today. The Arians, for example, 250 AD, we've seen this teaching come out through Arius. He was a deacon. He taught in Alexandria, and he stirred quite a controversy in this time. And it seems a lot of people out of Alexandria stirred quite a controversy. He taught, promoted heretical teaching on the doctrine of the deity. In other words, he contested that the Father and Son were not co-eternal and co-equal. He believed that Christ was a created being in which all other things were created. If you look in the New World Translation in Colossians chapter 1, 16 through 17, you'll see they insert that word other in there. They do put it in brackets, but nonetheless, it is still heresy. Christ created all things, and all things were created for him. The same was in the beginning with God. They believe that Jesus was a finite being with some divine attributes, but he was not eternal with the Father. And they denied the deity of the Son of God. And again, this is just a handful of the heresies that were around within the first 3 to 4 centuries of the church. And we see nuances of these heresies in many religious bodies today, and even in some supposedly Orthodox churches. And speaking of Orthodox, I want to reference a number of Orthodox views concerning the Godhead or the deity. The Westminster Confession in 1646, this is what it said, and I quote, "In the unity of the Godhead, there be three persons of one substance, power, and eternity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The Father is of none, neither begotten nor proceeding. The Son is eternal, begotten of the Father. The Holy Ghost, eternally proceeding from the Father and the Son," end quote. The Baptist Confession, 1689, and I quote, "In this divine and infinite being, there are three subsistences, the Father, the Word or Son, and Holy Spirit of one substance, power and eternity, each having the whole divine essence, yet the essence is undivided," end quote. The Athanasian Creed, 500 AD, and of course I'm only quoting in part just to give you the gist of what is said regarding the Trinity. And I quote, "For there is one person of the Father, and of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-equal, co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such as the Son, and such as the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated, the Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Spirit incomprehensible. The Father, eternal, the Son, eternal, and the Holy Spirit, eternal. And yet, They are not three eternals, but one eternal, end quote. I think some words for consideration when we think about Christology, why it is important for the people of God to anchor themselves to sound teaching on Christ, biblical teaching, orthodox teaching on Christ. The basis of our life and the basis of our hope centers around the Lord Jesus Christ. The type of life that we live, the ministry that we serve in, and how we serve, our expectations, all based on our knowledge of Christ. And the Bible is clear. We can't just dismiss this. We can't just brush it off. We are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Colossians talks about being rooted and grounded and built up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we do and believe and hope for, the things that bring us comfort and assurance and peace, is based on our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's continue our studies of the Bible and its important teachings with regards to the Lord Jesus Christ. Take care and have a good day.